Hello and welcome to episode 106 of the Cardholder Podcast, your source for Magic Online news, community, and finance. Be sure to check out cardholder.com for buying and selling Magic Online singles with round-the-clock customer service. My name is Connor. I'm the host and editor for the podcast, joined as I am always by my two co-hosts, Nathaniel from Cardholder and Dave C. from Ireland. How is it going, guys?
Going good. Thanks, Connor.
Going good here. It's been quite warm, but I'm powering through because I moved to a place that has AC for like the first time in my life, so it's been amazing. Ooh. Yeah, I haven't even noticed. Turtled up in my house in the summer. So how's everything going with you, Connor?
Not too bad. Just been chilling. Very busy, though. I don't know what it is.
It's that time of year. Summer gives you that that get up and go, right?
Yep, just everything is going on. You have to see everybody. You can't make an excuse. I don't want to go outside. It's snowing. I can't get out of my driveway, whatever. Nope, beautiful out. You have no excuses now.
Now you say it's too hot. Sorry, it's too hot.
Sometimes I do that, yeah. But then the dog's like, no, you need to take me for a walk. I'm like, oh, fine. Yep, doing good. Watched some Magic coverage this weekend. There's a sweet tournament in Worcester that we'll talk about in a little bit. Yeah, we got a few topics that we'll rapid fire through since nothing really ruined Magic since the Silver Showcase. So we're just kind of rolling along on for the ride here. And later on, we're going to play the Price is Right game since the finance world has had some interesting moving pieces over the past few weeks. So I'm looking forward to playing that game again. So let's start with SCG Worcester because there was a lot of cool stuff because it was week one of the M19 is out, but we have our typical team event, which is kind of a womp-womp. For this tournament, though, the first place winning list, we got Red Black in Standard with one new card. Yay. Jeskai Control in Modern, and we got Storm in Legacy. So I actually did tune in for several rounds this weekend. I don't think I saw Standard at all, though. Legacy pretty much got most of the attention with the bans going in effect. And it's only been a few weeks with the new format. Dave, is this new Legacy format actually good?
I'm still not sure. There's so much still like moving parts. So far, it seemed way more diverse, which is something we definitely expected from the Deathrite ban. But it might just seem that way. Like maybe it's just equally as diverse, but we're no longer seeing turn one fetch on Deathrite out of every deck almost. So that's great. Did not expect to see Storm take something down. I know it's a team event and they could have easily gone like 6-6 or whatever, or some bad record. But Storm lost one of its best cards in Gataxian Probe. True, I was not expecting that.
Well, you have to look at who was playing the deck. And of course, Brian Cook, he's been playing Storm since when I was doing coverage for SCG. I'm like, he's been playing that deck for, I want to say over 10 years, maybe. That's probably exaggerating, but it's been at least 7 years he's been playing the deck.
Yeah, he's certainly one of those excellent Storm players. I can never play the deck. You just need so much time in with it to get rewarded for playing it, especially in something as complex as Legacy. One comment about the event. Man, I'm glad there was another team event. Ooh, I couldn't go much longer without seeing another Magic team event on coverage. How about you guys?
Are you being sarcastic, dude?
Oh yeah. They completely drove it into the ground. I never want to see a team event as long as I live.
Well, here's a question. I remember team events never being that interesting to watch, but much more interesting to play in. Is it people's, like, you hear the general consensus people don't want to play in them anymore? Or is it just people are sick of watching them?
Probably, I think it's more playing. Okay. That's my opinion.
It's a sort of a be careful what you wish for then.
Yeah, I'm getting a mixed result. I think everyone that I've seen go to a team event enjoyed it, but there's some major downsides to a team event. Two of them being the two main emotions when you don't do well. One is, crap, I let down my friends. And then the other one's, crap, like my friends tried their best, but if I was just at this alone, I'd be like X and one. And that's not even being overly negative. There's just only so many times you want to do that and let down your friends.
Right.
I think it's great to have a couple a year. I think it's probably pretty good for them to have more than they used to, more than like the one in each continent that they used to have. But man, they might have killed it for the next couple of years.
That's sort of what Magic does, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Find one thing that's good, run it into the ground, and then find something else.
I was about to say, I haven't looked at attendance of events, so maybe I'm wrong and people are voting with their feet. Just the general consensus of people I've talked to.
That's what at least Cedric says. They're not going to change it because the numbers have been good. Mm-hmm. So I don't blame them. It does stink on the avenue of players don't want to really bring brews to the table or they want to bring him to the table, but the teammates are going to be like, no, you're not going to play that deck. So that's my big beef. It kind of stifles a little bit of innovation. Now, for this particular event, it just happened to be sweet because I wanted to see Standard and Legacy. Mm-hmm. And since Standard wasn't, we haven't seen like, oh, big breakout cards. You're going to see grand changes from the core set. Like, no, I'm not really expecting that, but this is a good balance. You could see maybe some new cards from the new set, but you also want to see Legacy as well. And then, oh, Modern? Sure, I'll see some Modern. So I thought it was actually a good mix for this weekend. I actually enjoyed the coverage a lot.
Yeah, I think the Standard decks were a little safe, and I think they were a little safe because of the reason you stated. Let's just play old Standard decks because we know they're good. Let's not try brews at this first week event. So that kind of sucks to an extent. I do agree with you on that.
Yeah, so let's talk about some interesting decks, interesting cards. I guess let's start with Legacy, because I want to talk about this Death and Taxes list that was in fifth place, because it had two copies of Brightlane, one in the sideboard as well. And I've also seen few people play some copies of Remorseful Cleric. It's the new 2-1 flyer that you can sack to exile cards from target player's graveyard. I'm not fully sold on that card either, but I'm willing to give it a chance. And I've seen people try it in other formats. I don't think it's that great. I've seen people try it in Standard as well, which is kind of weird. But a cool new card that maybe has some applications in Legacy, maybe something I'm going to be keeping my eye on for sure. In Brightlane, I don't know if the book is out on this card yet either, but I've been hearing some good things.
Yeah, Brightlane seems kind of good. I completely forgot about the Return to Hand effect. So I'd seen this card and I'd seen people talk about it. I'm like, yeah, it pumps. It's probably, I don't know if it's better than a Mirian Crusader. Completely forgot Bounce Back to Hand, which makes an extremely good way to while, I think. Yeah, more bears or two drops with relevant effects, removing the graveyard, especially when people thought that Reanimator was going to be a lot bigger than maybe it is. Seems like a fine main deck. I think no matter what, there's going to be some Remorseful Cleric in the sideboard of Debt and Taxes. And yeah, it's going to see other format play. We saw in Standard, the Gift deck is picking up a little bit in popularity at the moment. So any white deck can just jam three or four of these on the board and be beating graveyard decks. There's also a new Spirit Lord in Modern, and maybe, you know, this is a Spirit, see some play there as well.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit. A few other small innovations I just wanted to mention. Noah Walker, sticking with good old Grixis Delver still, even though with the band. And a lot of other players have just been going to good old Teemer Delver as well. But he decided to choose to sleeve up four copies of Bomat Courier in the main deck. Hard to tell if, with these team events, if Bomat Courier was pulling a lot of weight or anything, but nonetheless, it's sweet. I've also seen a lot more Braids in numerous decks. I don't think that's anything new. It's been seen play probably before the ban, but I thought I'd mention that, though. Those have been the new cards that I've been noticing in Legacy.
Yeah, Braid makes sense because there was a couple mono-red prison decks and stuff like that, seeing a bit of an uptick in popularity. Maybe some more Chalices of the Eldrazi deck might have got good again with the Deathrite Shaman leaving the format. So I could see why a Braid sees an uptick in play. A lot of Chalices and stuff being around. Bomat seems kind of inspired, thinking of it. It's just another card advantage engine in this deck. And against combo decks and kind of matchups like that, or against Miracles where they don't have that many removal spells, Bomat Courier might just draw 5-6 cards in those matchups easy. I think it's a really cool addition by Noah.
Yeah, and just with a Braid as well, it's just I've seen cards like this just be popular in formats like Legacy as well. I mean, you see cards like Wear and Tear. It's just the flexibility of every card that can do multiple things. So I could definitely see why a Braid has definitely been played, not just like Grixis Delver, but, you know, control decks as well. Another card I was surprised to see was in Bob Wong's Sneak and Show sideboard, Arcane Atesian, which is an interesting card to say the least. Do you even know what that card does?
I didn't even see this in the sideboard. No, I don't know what this does.
Oh, yeah, it was the Talking Tournament. Let's see if I can remember. So you pay, it's a 0-3 for 3 mana.
Yeah.
You pay 2 in the blue. You can, a target player draws a card.
Exiles a card from their hand. If a creature card is exiled this way, that player creates a token that's a copy of that card.
Yeah, so obviously just broken and Sneak and Show. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, so he's bringing this in the sideboard just to get around Containment Priest, right?
Yeah, cards like that. Also, like, there's some matchups where you can't play Show and Tell. Like, if they just have certain cards in their deck that right. bounce your Emrakul or to Containment Priest, as you said, then you might as well take the Show and Tells out and put these in post-board. They're not going to have removal. They're going to take out all the spot removal against you, so this is going to survive nearly every time. I think this is a really cool and very strong sideboard card. The it probably makes a bunch of sideboarded matchups a lot harder to play.
Yeah, this might just be, I'm not sure if it's just going to be a cool week one option, because sometimes transformational sideboards can kind of, people, when they know it's coming, it's a little easier to battle against. But it's still really cool to see some of these battle bond cards really affect the format in a positive way. So I'm glad to see some cool innovations in Legacy. Dave, as you mentioned, Supreme Phantom, the new Spirit Lord from N19, showed up in the modern Bant Spirits. Zan Saeed played four copies in the fourth place list. He was on camera a few times too. So always cool to see that deck. That deck's not broken. It's just like a solid deck choice after Caleb Durwood kind of popularized the archetype.
Well, I think now it might just be better than Merfolk.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, there's going to be a tribal deck out there. Merfolk was kind of the tier 2, 2.5 deck that sometimes got snuck into like tier 1 on certain weekends. I think Spirits overtakes that. They all automatically have evasion. You don't need to mess around with Spreading Seas, even though obviously that's a good matchup. And there's a lot of just powerful Spirits. Spell Queller is probably one of the best cards in Modern that doesn't have a home, and it does so much. And now you have so many lords in the deck between the images, the new two-drop lord, and Drog Skull Captain. I don't know. This deck seems like really good to me. This might be better than Humans. Humans also took over as like a default kind of tribal deck that was best. If Spell Queller is the better piece of disruption, this probably ends up being a bit better than Humans. I'm not sure, though. I haven't played a lot of Modern recently, and maybe this is just a flavor for the month and Humans takes over again after this.
Off the top of my head, I think Humans is still better, but I could be wrong, for sure. As for Standard, though, nothing really too innovative in the main team tournament, but we saw Mono Green Aggro win the Classic, though. So, Dave, you've said this deck has been dominating. Is it just Magic Online, or is it just this tournament? What have you been hearing about this deck?
I've just been hearing some very good things from separate people. I don't know if it's going to be dominating on the 5-0s or if that's everyone's experience, but I've heard some really good feedback, and a couple streamers have done really well with it. And a very surprising card is what has kind of pushed it to the forefront, and that's Vinemare. Vinemare is a card that seems to be like holding this deck together. And it's for a reason I didn't think. I thought like Tree Toughness isn't good enough. That means this card's worse than Bursting Hydra. It means that this card gets blocked by Goblin Chain Whirler. But the big thing is, it's definitely 5 power for Galta, no matter what. And that's just big on turn 3, putting a 5 power creature in play. Doesn't need you to have a held up energy. Doesn't need you to have any kind of protection. You're just definitely getting that discount on Galta. It's just fantastic. And I don't know. I haven't played Standard myself with it, but from what I hear, it's helping push this deck over the edge. Also, the addition of Torn Lieutenant. I've seen some versions play 2 and some versions play 4, which is a fantastic utility creature, helping you replace some of the other 2-drops that maybe weren't pulling their weight.
Yeah, when I say Mono Green too, the deck is playing some black splashes. I think it's just... is it any cards in the main deck? It's just your typical Scrap Heap Scroungers in the main deck, but then some sideboard cards.
Yeah, it's Scrap Heap main deck and then some Hour of Glory usually in the sideboard against like a red deck. Sometimes there's this version. Yeah, this version also has Veraska in it.
Yeah, good old Kaladesh. When will this set go away?
soon enough, actually. 3 months, I think.
So I just wanted to make one comment on that Mono Green deck, aside from it looking awesome. But it looks very cheap as well, at least for the moment.
Yeah, according to Goldfish, only 100 bucks, give or take, in paper. It's pretty good. Yeah,
really that cheap? 100 bucks?
Yeah, Galta went up a little bit, I know, for sure. But yeah, other than that, it's pretty cheap.
Galta went up, but one of the big things is one of its big mythics, Heart of Kieran, was reprinted in one of those starter decks, but also is definitely rotating in the next 3 months. So a lot of the Kaladesh mythics are in this like weird spot where if they're not seeing Modern play, even though they're seeing Standard play, they're tanking.
Mm-hmm. It's something that we're going to notice when we play the prices, right? For sure.
And what was the price in online? Because the version I'm looking at, the paper one, was 180 something.
Oh, apologies. I think I have mixed up the prices. Sorry. It's 100 online and it's about 180 on paper. Right. Apologies.
Which, you know, if it's a tier deck or a top deck, like that's really good. Of course, if it's the best deck, then that could change. But for the moment, that seems pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, definitely agree. But anyways, I think the formats are looking good going into the 25th anniversary Pro Tour. I don't know about you guys, but I'm liking where Magic is right now, at least for the main formats that are going to be featured on the big stage. So next we move on to the changes with Magic Arena. And it's almost as if Wizards looked at our Magic Online wish list and they're just ticking the boxes for Arena. So with the M19 Arena update, they introduced new player tutorials, which was on our list. And we all assumed it was coming anyway, so no big surprise there. They also added the ability to change the language from English to either German, French, Italian, Portuguese, or Spanish. Japanese, a notable exclusion, but I'm sure it'll be added at some point.
The Asian language, I was thinking this, there is very specific an Asian language missing, but I think it's always going to be hard to choose which one. I prefer
to get to choose one.
But yeah, I was going to say.
You can certainly do several.
Yeah, you could definitely do several, but I don't know how easy that is because obviously all European languages use a similar enough alphabet. Maybe that's just a bit hard to do for Asian languages. I can't imagine it's not going to be just in some dialect of Chinese and Japanese, though. I think that would just be leaving money on the table considering how big the Asian market can be for games like this.
Yeah, just give them time, I think. I mean, plenty of other games have all, I don't know about all languages, but the main, you know, the main languages. When I think Overwatch, it has Korean and Japanese, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think so.
So still cool nonetheless. I'm really happy to see Arena kind of take shape here. But the big change that we need to talk about, though, it's kind of the Wizards have gone away with the vault. Am I right? Are we done with that?
It's like a change. And I didn't exactly understand the video they put out, but it's instead of like the vault where you have to wait for it to be full, I think it like gradually gives you, it shows you like a ticker of the mythic and the rare one going up. And when you hit it, it just gives you one of them. I don't know if the vault as in I get seven cards at the same time happens anymore.
I don't think so. Yeah, so you're now guaranteed wild cards after you open a certain amount of packs. I don't know how many. I think it's like around like 6 packs for a rare, 12 for a mythic or something like that.
I had watched the video. I thought it was 3, but maybe I misunderstood.
Yeah, I think it's every 3 packs something happens. Yeah,
I thought it was random too, but maybe that's not right.
When I logged on, it said like you have 2 more packs for an uncommon, you have 3 for a rare, and it's like 10 for a mythic. But this is all, like I've already opened like a couple packs after the change.
Well, I think you're right. I think it's like 3 for an uncommon and a certain amount for a rare and a certain amount for a mythic. This is certainly better in the regards of like, I don't know the maths again. Maybe it's not better with the maths if someone did it. But in other games, in Hearthstone, I remember a big thing being it is random. But if I just open, it's like when you open a box of magic cards, you're like, well, I know I'm going to get 1 or 2 of each mythic per box. So like stores just go, well, if I buy, this is how Star City knows how many mythics it has before. It has them. If I just buy X amount of product, I know I'll get so many mythics. And that's important to calculate because someone one day is going to want to go, well, I want to buy that deck, so I'm just going to buy this many packs and know that I can get all the mythics and rares for that deck. So it is important that that's directly known information. I don't know if this is going to improve the vault. I remember the vault being a bit frustrating. I haven't played for the last couple of weeks. I'm going to wait to see if this is an improvement. I don't know if it will be, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I mean, I've played a little bit. So the vault was like cool in theory, but yeah, it was always hard to tell how long it was going to take. So now it gives us the exact reason. Oh, you just need to open a few more packs. You're going to get these wild cards. So at least it's more cut and dry now. So I don't know how long term this is going to act, if it's going to be a better system. They're definitely in the experimental phase. So I'm fine with just trying whatever right now. And I'm sure they'll improve things later type of thing. But right now, Arena is in a good spot. I've been having a lot of fun with it. I think we mentioned that for the drafts, for the competitive drafts, you can only enter with gems. And something I didn't realize or I didn't notice before, when you do the quick drafts, you actually win gems. So you can actually turn gold into gems. It's just a really, really slow process.
Okay. That makes sense.
So I went like, I got like 5 wins or something like that in a quick draft. I got like 600 gems, which is almost a draft. It's like half a draft, I think. So sustainable, or it's attainable, but it's, yeah, very, very slow grind, which I think is what they are going for.
Yeah.
It seems to be. I think that's unfortunate, but maybe is the way it needs to be.
It's always difficult. It's always difficult to balance how much time someone should put in without putting any money in. I think these economies are really hard to create. I think it's unfortunate that they're going through so many iterations. It's unfortunate and fortunate that they're going through so many iterations. Things always need to be changed and tweaked, but hopefully it's not making people too negative. Because a lot of people, unfortunately, on the beta testing, are going to be like, why don't I get more? I'm like, well, you're a beta tester. You're supposed to test it for them. That's what you've signed up for, not for it to be perfect straight away. I'm just hoping they're not turning the public against them a little bit with all these kind of tweaks.
Yeah, it's always hard being in this mindset because I'm not putting in like my 100% effort into this because I know, oh, my account's going to be wiped someday. So I'm not going to like try and grind seriously because like, what's the point? So it's a little hard to balance that.
It seems like the changes aren't really that massive either. It's like iterative changes and like, because I was watching the video and my impression was that maybe this was temporary until he said something about fixing the above four of problem or I forget how he phrased it, but they seem to just be like testing out different things, but they do seem to be sort of around where they want to be in terms of value and cost is my impression, because they're like adding something and sort of taking something else away to try to seemingly run their models so that they are still making what they think they're going to make. But it seems like the monetary stuff they're making drastic changes to. Was that your guys' impression as well?
Yeah, it seems to be.
Yeah, I don't pay that much attention to Arena, but obviously I keep my ear to the ground in terms of what people are saying. And I know both of you guys in particular, I think, are pretty pro Arena. So it's good to get your feedback in terms of like these changes and how they feel and whether or not they're drastic changes, like they're trying to solve problems, or if it's just like they're trying to make it a little bit better, but still think they're sort of where they're going to, at least meeting the goals that they think they need to meet.
It's hard to take a firm stance on a lot of these things. I mean, obviously, yeah. Things like the new player tutorials, that's like A+ in my giving these things.
And the languages.
Yes. Yeah. It's
frustrating, though. From a Magic Online player standpoint, it's like, oh, man, they should have had these like for 15 years, both of them.
Oh, yeah. Hard to agree on that.
I think it's a huge sign that they wanted these things, but they just can't do it. Or
maybe
they can do it, but it just takes too many resources. We'll never know, but this is a huge sign of, well, they're giving the obvious attention to one thing here, and we're kind of seeing where things are going.
Well, maybe that it will inspire them to add them to Magic Online, at least the language stuff, if like the translation work's already done.
Right. Yeah, the new player tutorials, when I added that to the wishlist, I'm like, you can't really do it on Magic Online because you need things to talk to you. You need graphics to do this. And Arena is the perfect platform for this. So Magic Online, you can't really do it effectively, really.
Yeah, you need a magic goblin to pop out and tell you, hey, would you like to play this game? Like in any other game of that type, Magic Online's always been tough for it. I remember you used to get CDs with starter sets for Magic Online, and there'd be like a tutorial on that.
That was 7th edition, if I remember correctly.
Wow.
Yeah. And you got like an Elvish champion with it, and you had like, you could play a couple of practice games on that before you went into Real Magic Online.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
Yeah, it almost would have to be like its own game, like a sub-game for Magic Online. Or let's put it in the Arena one, where you take a tutorial for Magic Online.
would that be smart? If they were like, would you like to play more seriously? Would you like to compete on the Pro Tour? Check out our other like Magic Online product. Here's a practice game and see if you like it.
Yeah. Something tells me that won't happen.
No, seriously, like that's why I'm all for this though. It's a good like Wizards will now have a starting point. Hey, don't just buy this like secondhand video game that might be like dead in like a year. I'm talking about Duels. Like the new Duels game like will get out of date after a year or so.
Yeah.
But this is like a evergreen type thing where you can just point to players, hey, check this out. It's free. See if you like the game. This is how you learn to play the game. So this is just a perfect avenue just for all types of players, which this is why I loved it. And this is why I thought it was so important to bring this on to the digital platform.
Yeah. A digital way to learn the game is absolutely essential because it's super hard to learn both the Magic Online interface and playing Magic at the same time. So it's good to have people that know what they're doing from a Magic perspective. And then maybe it's good. Maybe I should take back my angst about it not being on Magic Online.
Well, like, the one thing we always wished, I think all three of us wished from the start of this, is that their goal is, or what's going to happen, the result of this is so many more people play Magic through Arena that Magic Online almost, I don't want to say accidentally, because I think it is their strategy, but quote unquote accidentally, you know, succeeds because so many people get interested in Magic Arena. And then a couple of years later, they want to graduate to kind of competitive Magic, and you need a different platform for that, which is Magic Online.
That would be cool to see.
And then they can tie the two economies together. Boom.
Yeah. And then DCI numbers get linked to your online. That's what I've always wanted.
Yeah. Yep. And then I'll retire.
Yeah, so this week, I think on Friday they're having a stress test. I think it's like half off on drafts. So if you want to play the new set, you want to play some N19, check out Arena for this week. Unfortunately, I can't. I'll be working that day, so I can't play. It's like my only opportunity to draft because I haven't been drafting the new set and been no interest in core set drafting.
Oh, it's not bad. Unfortunately, I would check it out. I'm sure it's fine.
I've liked core set drafts.
Yeah.
In the past,
yeah.
But after I've done like 4 or 5 core set drafts in a row,
that's fair.
It just wears off, and I want the expert level sets. I just feel
you're just too good.
I get a deeper. They're too good. I just get a deeper connection, and I feel like I get more out of it. They're just deeper formats.
Yeah,
and that's what I like in my Magic Going experience.
I feel like that's the nice thing about the core sets, though, is that they're just simpler, and especially for those first few, you don't feel as lost. At least I don't. I actually played a couple leagues and I think a single draft. And it's refreshing to be able to, like, if you don't play that often, just pop in and, like, at least hold your own without knowing much about the set. So I always have liked the core sets, even when they've been very unpopular. But I mean, I played 2 leagues and a draft league. So I thought it was good from what I saw.
For sure. And from what I hear, it's a good format as well. And that's typical of core sets. They're usually pretty balanced. Even when it was like Titans and Doomblade at Common and all that crap, like it was still like a decently balanced format, even though like Titans are stupid ridiculous, but at least they were Mythic Rares and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So
Doomblade at Common is great because if everything's bad that isn't Doomblade, everything's bad. That's fine. Everyone has bad cards because Doomblade is so good. I don't mind it. It's not fun, but it is balanced if everyone has such a powerful card at Common. I think that same set had Pacifism at Common and had Lightning Blue Bounce. I had a Mana War at Common as well, which was broken.
I'm fine with going away from those sets, but it definitely was okay at the time for sure. Let's go over to Magic Online though. We've mentioned Magic Online. We should mention a few of the fun toys that we're going to get on that platform because we didn't have time last episode to mention the newly announced flashback events. So coming August 1st, we have Triple Zendikar. Following week, we have the Pauper Gauntlet. So first time we have a gauntlet for that format, which is cool. The week after that is another Cube Spotlight series, which they haven't announced which cube it is. August 22nd, to be determined. So something spicy in the works. They haven't announced it yet. Come on, Chaos Drafts. We'll see. Then we get fan favorite triple Cons of Tarkir. And then Legacy Cube will last most of September. Do any of these catch your eyes?
Triple Cons. Cons is one of the best formats I've ever played.
Yep.
Only triple Cons, though. The other two sets can just get in the ocean. They're awful.
Agreed. But
triple Cons is so good. I have a soft spot for Zendikar. Like, it's a novelty. A format being that fast is kind of cool. It's kind of different. It's almost like playing a weird cube. And that was, you know, a time in my life where I was playing a huge amount of Magic and the format was so fast we could get 2, sometimes 3 drafts in one night in the local shop.
Does stink, though. Zendikar does have like an added benefit. Like, you used to, you know, it's a sweet format, but you can also have that rare open of a fetch land, you know, but these are phantom now, so it's like a little less cool. Same thing with Cons, but at least Cons is still a really fun, like, deep format.
Yeah. Why do sets with fetch lands are rare? Just why are they so good to draft?
Well, in Cons, the fixing is like super good, so there is a reason actually that they're rare for that.
If you're looking for some triple Cons draft advice, the mono red deck is amazing, and you get so many good cards late. I did like a draft challenge back in the day when I was streaming, and 3-0'd a couple with mono red. So.
I've never drafted it before. I might try it, though. It better be fun. I better win, too. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm coming for you.
I mean, winning and fun kind of go hand in hand. Right, Dave?
Right.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
They are 100% correlated in Dave's mind.
So none of these other events really get the blood running?
I think they're good events, but personally not for me.
Yeah.
Except Legacy Cube, which I think has been constantly disappointing recently. I think the Pauper Gauntlet is a great idea. And the other two, Cube Spotlight and To Be Decided, I'm going to have to see what they are first.
Yeah, the Pauper Gauntlet, I don't know. See, with Pauper, it's a format that, like, it's cheap enough that you can easily change decks. So it's like, why do I need a chance to play these other decks? Because the good thing about a Gauntlet, it's like, ooh, I get to try all these other decks because I can't, like, really afford to. Pauper, it's like you kind of easily can. So it's kind of a weird concept. I mean, it's why not just try it? Whatever. It's no cost. It gives us a little something else to try. So it's a good idea, definitely, to try for Wizards. Before we get into the Price is Right game, I wanted to give a quick shout out to Z Magic for completing 365 day of streaming. He's completed it this week, so he's joining the exclusive club of who else has completed. Was it Newmont and Caleb? Is there any other people?
I don't know anyone completed it. I think I know someone close to completing it. Oh, what's the streamer name again? Oh, he's on the stream all the time. Yeah, but I think I can't think of anyone else that's actually completed it.
So yeah, it got me thinking, do other communities or games have streamers that stream 365 days like Magic?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty common marketing tool. Just show dedication and...
You're going to have to show your work, though. Like, I'm curious to see... And I say, like, Magic, because I'm sure there's other people in other communities that do it, but do they play the same game for, like, this many days in a row? Because I think Magic is so unique that, like... People like Caleb and Newmont, they can draft and play Constructed through that whole time and almost never change games. I'm pretty sure Z Magic, he played some different games. So he kind of, in my mind, that kind of, it's like cheating almost. But no, still an accomplishment. Congratulations to him. But
I think it's more of an accomplishment on your mental health that you don't change game. Because I don't know, I get sick of Magic. I'm currently not playing much Magic, but when I was streaming, I probably should have tried to stream some other games every now and again, because there's those days you get up and you're like, I don't want to play Magic. I guess I could play this other game, but you get so scared no one's going to watch. But yeah, it's super impressive that someone can just draft every day like Newmont did. I don't think I'd be able.
I wouldn't either. It was just an interesting thought experiment I had. I'm like, I'm really curious to look some of this up and see if this is a really a popular kind of marketing campaign that other people do to get, you know, exposed on Twitch, because obviously this is not the like ideal way to get followers, but obviously it's been effective for some people.
I would argue that probably there's poker players that do it a lot just because they play online poker every day.
That's what came to mind. But other than that, like, I can't think of people playing shooters for that long or fighting games or what have you.
No, I can't. I can barely imagine Magic players doing it.
Cool accomplishment nonetheless, but I think it's time. It's time. It's Price is Right time. This is the game where I name a card. Dave and Nathaniel have to guess the moto price and the paper price of a card. First person guesses, the other person guesses higher or lower. And for the prices, I am using Card Hoarder for online, of course. Star City for paper. I always use the Near Mint price and whatever's the cheapest, mainly for the online version. So any other questions, guys? Are you ready?
I'm 0-2 down, right?
Yeah, you need to come back here. Come on. I believe in you.
Don't call it a comeback.
So, Nathaniel, you're the winner. You get to choose. Do you want to go first or second?
Going first entails guessing the price.
Yeah, you'll be guessing price on the first card.
I'll go first.
If you want to go first.
I'll make it easier for
you. You want to go first. Okay.
Easier.
So some of the cards I picked, they're legacy playable for sure. I mean, there's some different ones, but you know, since the legacy format kind of got the shake up, I wanted to choose some legacy cards. So the first card, we have to talk about this card because it's always a staple on the podcast, Rashad Import.
Ooh. I haven't looked since last time, and I'm trying to remember what it was last time. I thought it was sub 10 last time. So
it was like five or six.
Oh really? Time. Okay. I don't know that it can fall much further beyond that, but I don't know where it's sitting in the treasure chest. I assume they took it back out after destroying it. But so I'm going to say for the online price, I'm going to say 5 tickets.
I think it might have bounced back a bit because of speculation of decks like that and taxes and lands getting better. I'm going to say more. It's like 8 or 9.
Dave. There we go. The comeback is starting now. Yes, it is at 9.5 tickets. Ooh, so yeah, it's right. Some of the speculation. It's yeah, we haven't seen much of Rashad Import come back. I mean, Death and Taxes is supposedly better. We'll see. And we'll see if Land starts playing it again. But yeah, and that's just the Magic Online promo, of course. Right. I think the Mercadian Mask version is like 11 or something like that, which is still pretty low to see compared to how far it's come.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, from the most expensive card on Magic Online to that.
All right, so paper.
Paper, man, I'm trying to remember. I want to say.
Yeah, some of these cards, it's like a memory game because yeah. I think the paper price hasn't changed much. So you got to remember.
I want to say 60.
Lower?
Yeah, you need to work on your memory. It's way lower. It's 25 bucks.
What?
I was about to say 30 bucks, I thought. Yeah.
It was, we talked about this before. It was in the 25th anniversary set, and it was a rare. So that's why it plummeted.
Yeah. Yeah, I had forgotten it was in the 25th anniversary set. I never played that set.
Nobody did. I kid. All right, Dave.
The richest of people.
You have 2-0, so you're going to be going. Sweep you're going to go away. First. Well, we'll see.
Clean sweep.
I think there's definitely a definite advantage of going second, so that's why we switch off.
There's no question. There's a big advantage to it. Yeah. Well, granted, like I just had no idea on either of those. So
here's a card that was reintroduced into the treasure chest. So its price has definitely changed a little bit, and we have True Name Nemesis. I will have to say, I'll be a little generous on the price here, I guess. It's confusing with the new promo, because there's no stock, but other versions are, like, basically close to it.
I can't remember this card too well. I would say there's also a bit of a shift because of, again, Deathrite Shaman getting banned, and both the decks that played it get, like, it gets a lot worse if you can't play it turn two, is what I'm trying to say. So, online first?
Yeah. Yep.
15?
Way higher. I think it's like 50-something.
It was like 80 tickets. It's at 50 now.
I think this is the exact mistake I made last time.
Well, it was like 80 or 70 tickets for a while, so man, we need to...
That one I've seen recently, so I feel like I was in a better position, but...
So it definitely went down. So it was at like 80 like a month ago, mm-hmm. and it just went down. And I say the new promo is around 50, but the other versions are like 55. So regardless, the card's definitely taking a hit.
Yep.
But the new, I think, Treasure Chest promo or whatever is at 50. And at least on Card Hoarder, there's no stock.
Sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. All right. Paper price. You have to remember this was reprinted in Battle Bond.
Was it reprinted at Rare or Mythic?
Ooh.
Hold. I'm pretty sure Mythic Rare, but let me double check.
I think you're right. I think it's Mythic. I'm going to make a guess on assumption that's Mythic.
Mythic Rare.
30.
Higher. I think again by
a lot. Dave gets it. It's lower.
What? Really?
$14.
See, that's what I think. This is legitimately what I did the exact last time. I think I guessed and I got, and I guessed like paper price.
Well, what was it for the reprint? Because I had thought that one was much more in paper, but I must be thinking of a different card. I thought it was over 100.
No, it was never.
Never? That high. All right. I'm thinking of a different
card. I think it was that high on its like first printing. When it was like when they first did the commander decks, they sold out in like one printing in like 10 seconds.
Right.
And then people realized True Name Nemesis was broken and you should pay three of it in your Delver decks.
I don't think it was that high. It was like 40, okay. 50 originally. And then last year it's been around 30 bucks.
Okay. Yeah, I was just dead wrong on that one. Not surprising. I don't really know paper prices that frequently. Especially like those weird ones. Like, was it in Commander and...
Commander 2013.
And then Battle Bond, and that's it?
Yeah, that's it.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's a card that you don't play four of in a Legacy deck. It's usually you see like two of them.
Okay.
It's always hard to tell because like sometimes cards are like, oh, you only need one of them. That means it's like 40 bucks or something like that. So
right.
Magic prices are so weird sometimes.
I agree.
But regardless, Dave, up 3-1. So Nathaniel needs to
dominate way here.
I'm not helping you. This one's going to be a really weird one. This one's going to be hard to guess.
Okay.
But it is a Legacy playable card. This one is Dark Depths.
Dark Depths. Okay. Yeah, I can't say I've heard of the price of this at any point in the last probably year. But I'm going to say for a while it was like 30 or 40, I think. I'm going to say like 20.
Higher? I want to say like 35.
Nathaniel gets it. So pretty much spot on with the projections there. So yeah, it used to be like 30, 40 for a while, but it has been trending down.
Because lands is no good, right? Anymore? Or
I don't know.
Seemingly not as good.
This one's really weird. So it was 15 tickets before the ban. It has dived all the way down to 7.83 tickets.
Wow.
So that might be because it was seen playing like an aggro version of Lance that was being a little bit successful for the band before the ban, and maybe that's why it survived.
I have no idea. I mean, you still think it's been playable now. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure what's changed now. So interesting. All right.
Maybe that card they got reprinted, or they got printed in M19 that hoses specific lands like that.
Alpine something.
Yeah, Alpine Moon. Or
yeah.
It's probably it.
Yeah, definitely.
For paper.
Before we start, I have to ask a question. Because mm-hmm. Technically From the Vault version is less. Do we count that?
It, on Magic Online?
No, paper.
Oh, paper.
No, okay. Count the normal version.
Normal version.
From the Vault is horrible. No one should ever buy it.
The From the Vault one is foil?
It's foil, but it's always less because the
foil quality
is so bad, yeah.
Mm, okay.
It looks terrible. It does not look like a Magic.
I would say it doesn't really help me either way because I have no idea what the paper price is. I'm like trying to reach back to the inklings of my memory and whether or not we had any for Isle of Cards. And I want to say we did. And I want to say it was in the sort of 40-ish range. So I'm going to say 40 because it's better than any other guess I've got.
I want to say like much higher. I want to say like 75.
Dave, you're extending your lead. Yeah, I had to ask because From the Vault version is $50, but 50. The Cold Snap version is 70 right now.
70, okay.
Yeah, it's 70. Only been printed, beside the horrible From the Vault version, just once, right?
Well, I'm going to say I must have been thinking of the buy price then, just to sort of save face a little bit.
That's a good guess, though. That's a good guess. I haven't looked at the projections. Maybe the paper price has moved. Probably not, though. It's probably been steady.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's probably, I was just not correct.
Yep. That's okay. All right, Dave, your next card is Show and Tell.
Was that reprinted recently?
In Conspiracy 2.
Oh, it's not that recently.
Keep in mind, Conspiracy 2 was not on Magic Online, so it was through Treasure Chest. But the cheapest version is from the Saga version, though.
I want to say 35 tickets online.
For a long time, that card was in the 50s. On Magic Online, but I think it dropped a lot. I can't remember why, but I'm going to say below 35. I think it's probably more like 15 to 20.
Nathaniel knows his business. Perfect. 18.85 tickets.
All right.
I knew it dropped because of chests, because I think I got one a couple months ago and was surprised by how low it was, but I didn't know it dropped by that much.
Yeah, back when they used to do the good promos for the big events, like they had Lily and Show and Tell was one of those, and like that was back when it was like around 50 or 60 tickets, I think. The good old days, if you will, for that card.
It might creep up too. It might be better in the new format. We will see, but it was definitely not great in the previous format, it seemed.
Yeah.
No, nothing was without that right shaman. Maybe if you splashed that right, it would have been good.
There you go. Broke it.
Broke.
give me paper.
I'm going to say 35 again.
This is another one I have actually no idea. What was it originally printed in?
Urza Saga?
Urza Saga, and then Conspiracy 2.
The Saga, is that the one that had Talarian Academy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the Cogs, I think.
35.
Most broken set of all time, probably.
I'm going to say higher.
What was Dave's guess? 35?
35.
Yeah.
It is lower. It's only $16.
Ooh. All right. I'm even close.
Conspiracy wrecked it. Jeez.
Yeah. All right, so Dave's up 5-3 now, so still close.
Yeah, I can't catch up.
You still plenty of time to catch up. We have 4 more cards. Okay. So, and we are going to go with Wasteland. And before you guess, I'm not counting the Expedition, by the way. It's like a few tickets less than the Eternal Masters version.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I've not seen this one in a while. Another one that sort of went on a wild ride up and down. I'm going to guess 35, though.
The Dave strategy just 35 for everything.
I was gonna say 30, but
less.
Boom, Dave, dominating.
20,
26. So it was actually down to like 20 a little bit, but now it's recovered a little bit. Hopefully, it recovers a little bit more.
So I remember when Lands was more than a mortgage because of Wasteland and because of ports. Like they Wasteland was like 60 online at some stage, right?
Yeah, it was.
It was up there, and they had like. What was it? Whatever that remastered set was, and that sort of pushed
Eternal Tempest.
Tempest Remastered.
Tempest Remastered. Yeah. Eternal Remastered was the bigger one, though.
Yeah. I just remember when Tempest Remasters was like one of the most valuable sets because there was also a bunch of commons that were like two ticks each. So Tempest Remasters was like a gold mine whenever it was drafted.
Yeah. Yeah. It did not pan out well, as I recall. For paper, again, I don't know. But I want to say, so it was an Eternal Masters, and was it rare or mythic?
Rare.
I think it was rare.
Rare. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to say 40.
I'm going to go less.
Man, that's a tough one. Dave gets it. $38, that one. That's close.
Okay. Knew it on the button.
Yeah, he's like, actually knew it.
Did you find it's $37.99?
I don't know. Plus taxes, and with that, I think it's more than 40, so I think I should probably get that one.
Okay, so still time to...
What is it, 7-3 here. Now?
7-3. Mm. So still time. Here's a favorite one. Here's a card that has only come out on Treasure Chests. And in paper, it's only in the BioBox promo. So this one's a fun one to talk about. Nexus of Fate.
Oh, what a gross card. Oh, I have no idea. I've not seen any deck successful with it.
Yeah, do you guys want to talk about this card before you even start the guesses?
We've talked about this multiple times on the cast because it's my favorite card, right?
Not the playability of the card, but the business practice of Firebox promo and then Treasure Chest.
Awful.
Hate it.
Awful. Hate it so much. They're just asking for a crisis. Like, they're just asking for it to actually be playable and then be worth $100. It's awful.
Is there a better way to do it online? Should just put it like in the set as an online only thing or what?
It's fine as online. It's probably enough because so many treasure chests are open that, yes, it would be expensive if it was a 4-of, but I don't think it's the worst. It's just so awful for real life, I think.
I think doing it in treasure chests is really boring. I don't really have strong opinions about doing it in paper, although very clearly people do and they think it's a very slippery slope, and I get that argument. But knowing that it is that way in paper, I don't think you can put it in the packs because it changes the draft and you don't want to necessarily have that. But something like as a reward for whatever, opening up X number of boosters, I could see putting it in there. Like if you play X number of drafts, whatever, because you know, people don't really open boosters or buy boosters per se. So something like that I think would have been more interesting. I'll save another comment about it because I don't want to give Dave any information. On the price,
I think it's 25 online. I think it's 10 tickets
higher.
Yeah, it's the most. It's the most expensive card
in this set, quote unquote. Yeah. And I don't even. I don't even know if we have some of it in stock, but like,
nope.
I don't know that we've ever had one for that matter. It's strange.
If I was still streaming, I think I would have tried to buy as many of these as possible and then just keep streaming decks with it until I got a good deck. Then be a millionaire. Maybe nice. I can still do that.
So I'm just looking. Since M19's been out, we've had 3 at all.
Nice.
So
nice.
The price on like thinly traded stuff like that it's hard because the way different prices work on different bot chains can make it so that there's a big discrepancy and you have to like go manually adjust it, which is what happened initially. Like we had to press it like 3 tickets and then GoBots was at like 40 or something. So I think it's probably like gotten a little bit better, but it's going to be one of those ones that until enough supply gets in there, it's just not going to be.
How much is it?
27 tickets.
27. In real life, I think it's like 25. I think I saw someone tweet that they had like 100. They bought 4 of them, and it was like $100. So I'm gonna say 25.
It's about where I thought it would be myself. I'm gonna say lower.
Nathaniel doing the comeback. So yeah, maybe Dave got screwed up. Maybe that person that tweeted was in Europe, and maybe the euros are slightly more because it is $20.
I think it was 25, but just, you know, when people start getting the promos and they sell them, I think you probably just post the price a little bit lower. That was my logic anyway.
I like my story better, though.
Well, if you wanted my thought process and why I said lower.
I think it was your order podcast that got me. I think Brian Gottlieb bought them at that much originally.
There you go. There you go.
Damn you.
All right. I need another sweep. And then it's...
No, I mean, well, yeah, basically. So what we're
two cards left. Fours.
7-5 Yeah, 7-5 We got two cards left, yeah.
Okay.
Next card, Nikki B. So Nicol Bolas, the Ravager. So we're into some standard cards here.
I'm going to say 19.
More.
That one hurts. It is technically more.
What is it?
20 tickets.
I almost said 20, but I thought I haven't looked at it today, but I've kept an eye on it. That is tough. That's real tough.
That's a bummer.
That's a couple of close ones.
You have to get the next three?
I guess so. Hold on, I just wanna see what I mean. 20 point. Damn. Okay.
I knew he went up to 24 at one stage.
Yeah, it was high. It was up there in the mid-20s and maybe even more than that. But
yeah, he was being streamed by like every streamer.
Oh really?
Yeah, pretty much. And when you have a nickname given by Caleb Durward, there's definitely gonna be popularity in the card.
Yeah.
What's the nickname?
Nikki B.
Oh, Nikki B. Okay.
Hey, Nikki, you're so fine.
I don't actually know the paper price. I'm going to say $30.
Oof. I want to say less, but I think it's like by one or two.
So what are you saying?
Yeah, no.
I know you want to say that.
Please provide an answer.
I'm going to say less. I think it's like $28.99.
Oh, man. Stupid. I can't take another one of those.
No, the comeback. It's coming. It's $40.
Ooh. Wow, 40. Good grief. Okay. All right.
Don't buy that card at that much money. That's ridiculous.
Okay. So, might be the last card, might not be. We'll see. So, this one, as we kind of discussed earlier, we have some of these Kaladesh cards that are in this weird pattern. They're seeing a lot of play still because they're really good mythics, but rotating very soon. But this one also has legacy playability as well. So, we'll see what you guys guess here. Chandra, Torch of Defiance.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
I think she is 10 bucks now.
So 10 tickets?
Oh, 10 tickets less. She is...
Wait, what?
I want to say 6
tickets. I would say higher.
Wait, hold on. You just said 10 and then 6. So what's your...
Six. Yeah, sorry. I said 10, six 10 bucks.
Is $10, he thinks. Yeah. He said the paper price first.
Yeah, I said paper price first. I think she's 6 ticks.
I would say higher. I would say what must not have gotten smoked as much online, but I don't actually know.
Nathaniel, you get it. I'm just avoiding Dave now. So, yes, you definitely changed your answers to 6 tickets. There we go.
Yeah.
Okay. 8.4 tickets. So, yeah, definitely has gone down a lot for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it was in the 20s, right? And,
yeah.
And, okay. That's surprising to me.
She's only legal for a month or two more, yeah.
Yeah. I guess that makes sense.
She sees modern on Legacy Play, though, so.
I very confidently said higher.
Yes. We have to give the suspense for the audience here. Oof. All right, Dave, paper price.
Man, for all the marbles.
We're in stoppage time right now. I'm just trying to get another goal. Tie it up.
Going for the treat. I'm going to go $11.
It's gonna be a 50-50 because I have no idea, but I know it got printed in that. What were those decks called?
The Challenger decks.
Challenger screw decks. You for playing standard decks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And yep, it usually is a 50-50 chance. Yeah.
I know, but sometimes I feel like it's higher because I have some sort of better idea.
Intuition. Yeah.
I'm gonna say higher.
And Dave, you said 11.
I did
11.
We have a tie game.
Oh no!
It is $17.
$17.
Who's buying her at 17?
Planeswalker, man.
Paper prices don't smoke. Don't get crushed as much. It seems like
I just sold a Heart of Karen for €1 the other day.
Jeez.
Yeah, Magic Card Market is what I sell on. It's quite harsh because it's peer to peer.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean. Planeswalkers always have, they have casual appeal. And this one's at least played in Legacy for sure. Modern, I don't know how much, but there's some holdover with that card for sure. So maybe that's why. All right, so we need a tiebreaker. I don't have a tiebreaker card. I'm going to come up with one on the fly.
That was very improbable, I feel like. That
it was, yes.
usually somebody gets smoked, but Dave is on this game. Right,
well, my bacon got saved because I was so confident on the Chandra price.
Yeah.
And right. I have no idea.
All right, for the last tiebreaker card, then we're gonna do my favorite card in Magic of all time. We are doing Thalia Garden of Thraben. So keep in mind, this card was printed in Masters 25. Originally printed in Dark Ascension. Those are the only two printings of it.
Can you... I just want to make sure I have the right card. Is that the one that increases the cost of spells by one of your opponent?
By one, yep. 2-1.
Yeah. First strike. Yeah. Okay.
Gets played in Legacy. Card's great.
And Modern,
yep. It's in the Modern Humans deck. It's a human.
I'm going to say 4 tickets.
More, but like by a tiny amount.
Nathaniel takes the lead.
Oh, come on.
0.84 tickets.
0.84? Oh my god, that's the promo, I assume, right?
Yeah.
The promo is that, but the Magic 25 ones.
Oh, really? Okay. Okay. Yeah. The promo crushed the price. I forget what it was given out for, but it was everywhere.
It was never that expensive ever online. It's one of those cards that's always been pretty cheap online for some reason.
Yeah, okay. Oof. In paper, I again have no idea, but I'm going to say something like $10.
Yes.
All right, Nathaniel, you get it. It was going to be tough if you said higher, Dave, because the paper price is $11. So Nathaniel,
ooh, I almost said 11.
Great guess. Great guess.
Oh, what a crushing.
Yeah, you almost made the comeback, but no, Nathaniel is definitely the champion of the universe in the Price is Right game.
Oh, man, that was nerve-wracking, gotta say.
Yeah, it was. I was sweating a little bit. It's probably just because it's hot in my room, but yeah.
That's just some good television.
No, I'm gonna say it was probably the game.
Yeah, good games, guys. Good games.
Good game. GG.
All right, well, let's close the show off with our returning segment. We didn't get to play it last time, but have to bring it back. For this episode, it is Card Hoarder After Dark.
We're listening in on radio. Radio.
Welcome to Card Hoarder After Dark, your one-stop radio station for all mature content and talk. I am your host and DJ, Dave C. And today's mature topic will be stuff. We've talked a lot about what we like to eat and drink on Card Hoarder After Dark, but we've never said what we like to eat and drink at Magic tournaments, playing cards. Guys, what do you like to eat and drink when you're playing? Could just be with your buddies at home, but at tournaments too.
I don't think you get to eat at tournaments, do you?
Yeah, like pay $20 for a burger.
Yeah. You have 30 seconds between your round finishing and scarfing down whatever. Then you hop in line, and then it takes so long you have to get out of line. And that's been my experience at physical tournaments.
You're 5-0. You can take a loss. You can take a game loss at 5-0 for a burger.
Yeah, you can't have anything on the table, remember? Because the judge always makes a pun.
Does he?
Have you never been to a tournament before? Or is this just a Star City
Dave's
event?
Never played an event before, I don't think.
I guess not. Jeez.
What pun is made at these Star City events?
It's always a different pun. That's the joke, or it's not really the joke, but the shtick is the head judge always makes a really bad pun. Do not have food or drink on the table. Otherwise, your cards are going to become whatever, emotes or something. I can't think of a pun because they're terrible, but it's always like a terrible magic pun.
Sure.
And then people go like boo, or they golf clap or something. Maybe it's a Star City thing. I don't know.
Maybe I never want to go to a Star City event now. I don't know.
Well, I'm going to start it off, but it's going to be online since I don't really play much in paper. Although I played Magic on my bachelor weekend, I suppose we can count that. But and that sort of goes hand in hand with drinking and probably beer or... I used to drink like whiskey and Coke, or whiskey and Diet Coke, back in the day with my co-owner Shane. Like whenever he would come visit, or I would go visit him, like we would just draft like the whole weekend and just be drunk the whole time too. My favorite is he would, like, we'd be drafting really late, and I'm not used to staying up late. It'd be like 2-3 in the morning, and we'd start a draft, and then he would promptly fall asleep in the chair next to me, and then I would have to play out the draft by myself. But, you know, that's one of the consequences of both staying up late and drinking heavily. So, but drinking is absolutely on the list. And I think that change that that WotC made with respect to being able to drink at sanctioned events is awesome. Because I think playing like a sanctioned event at like a sweet bar or a pub or a brewery or something like that is amazing.
Unfortunately, it doesn't change for them.
Why?
You're still not allowed to play sanctioned events like
at a place with a bar, apparently.
What?
Yeah.
Mm.
So,
okay.
If I've read it right, we're talking about this on one of the forums. Essentially, it's just your LGS can let you bring in alcohol or whatever, technically. It's essentially, unfortunately, they've kind of just made the rule to stop awkwardness, because you're never going to stop someone from having a drink at an event.
Who brings in a drink into a venue?
Midnight pre-releases and stuff, I think people really do it a lot. Yeah. Also, someone pointed out what does happen, and a really unfortunate part of this law, is that people will get bitter at an LGS and then just accuse them of allowing people to drink at their events, and there's no way to disprove it.
Mm.
So that's really awkward.
Yeah, the other big part about this change, and that's the reason why I suggested this topic, was you can now do like age restrictions on your tournaments as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I always thought was a thing, because I remember as a kid, I played in a juniors tournament. It was like 12 and under. So I always thought that was just a thing, but I guess it wasn't.
Yeah, I didn't know, because I played in a junior series. We had like one of them over here once. So I thought that was always a thing, but apparently not.
I thought that's why they had the alcohol rule to begin with, is because it restricts people at least in the US that are under 21 from being able to go there if they're serving alcohol. I thought that was the issue.
Yeah.
So I thought
they just also didn't want alcohol associated with their game at all, I think was the thing.
Really? Seems a little silly.
Nathaniel's like, I this doesn't compute.
It's like those two are just going hand in hand. I mean, I just don't understand.
Yeah. I don't understand it much. Maybe I'm misreading it. Maybe like you can run an event there, but your shop can't be there. It's something weird. A big issue came up in Britain that was like basically the shop that was a bar also got all their rights taken off them once when they found out they were also a bar, got all of their event running taken off them. So I don't know. I don't exactly know. It's still cool. I like to think that there's going to be a BYOB event at my local store that I might go to at some stage now.
Are you just going to bring a refrigerator with you? Just
keep it, or yeah. No,
Europeans probably don't care about drinking warm beverages, though.
Yeah, I guess.
Because you guys don't have ice was the underlying dig.
Oh man, we went there.
Get some ice.
For me, let's see, tournaments, yeah, nothing really too exciting. I would usually bring like, I don't know, peanuts or just like almonds and water. I don't like to eat too many big things at tournaments, because I just hear like if you eat something that's like too greasy or something like that, you kind of your playing kind of decreases. You're supposed to just eat light snacks, at least that's what I hear. And at least for myself, I never want to eat something heavy just because I don't want to be going to the bathroom, and I hate going to the bathroom at tournament conventions and things like that. So I always play it safe. Obviously, when I did coverage, you just eat whatever is there. So it was always a crapshoot for that.
Yeah, I bet.
But for things like playing Commander at my house, this was always a big discussion what we should eat, because we can't get anything too greasy, because like obviously cards, you don't want grease on the table or grease on the cards. The
decks are too expensive.
Yeah, it got to that point. We're like, because we're playing Commander, we're some expensive cards.
Nice.
Doritos was definitely a favorite like snack item, or like Pringles. Doritos got maybe a little too messy. Yeah, pop was definitely, you know, soda, whatever you want to call it. Bottles of Coke though, you couldn't do the cans at the table. That was the house rule at my place.
In case it got knocked over.
Yeah, and we never really did beer. It wasn't like I never just wanted to. Part of it was just like my friends didn't really like drinking. And I would always feel weird, like, all right, I'm just going to drink
at the table. Which that's never fun, drinking alone.
Yep.
Sometimes you got to do it.
That's if anything, we always had to have Netflix in the background.
Yeah,
that's true. Chicken wings.
Really? That's that my has to be too to messy.
That's my answer to any food. No, in general, tournament, I'm the exact same as you, just probably a bag of nuts and a couple drinks. I do like to have some chocolate with me, because I think having a sugary thing to eat like boosts your energy if you're tired. Because, yeah, like long term, it's a short boost. It's not going to get you through a whole day. But sometimes you don't need to get through a whole day. You need to get through around 7 or 8, you know. So I like having a bit of chocolate or something sugary with me to kind of wake me back up, I guess. When I'm just at home, I don't know. When I've eaten dinners streaming, I just eat like really normal with it. I do really like the idea of like maybe one day having a PT party. It's like PT on in the background. I love cooking. I love making a bunch of snacks. I can do that. And then just lots of drinks. And we probably won't end up playing Magic, but, you know, everyone bring their decks.
PT party for 12 hours.
Competitive decks. Don't bring Yeah, don't bring your EDH deck anywhere near me. Where competitive decks are nothing. We'll proxy up the Pro Tour decks as we see them and play them.
Just do draft.
Of course, of course.
Draft, yeah, draft is the big one. I'd love to get draft days like that. Day of drinking and drafting and just having big lunch in between and stuff. I'm thinking if I had an alcoholic drink, what would I drink? I think I'd have Blue Moons if I was playing Magic.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I actually might do mixed drinks. It's beer is just a little too heavy. It's too much liquid. I tend to slow down a little bit if it's
hard. Dave's thinking like shots of tequila, probably. Every time you lose, you got to take a shot.
Yeah.
At the end of the night, you're just trashed.
This is a place to say it, I guess, after dark. But for the first time last week, I had like good vodka.
Yeah?
I've never had good vodka. I've only ever had Smirnoff.
Yeah.
Crap like that. And it was great. I could just drink it straight. And it was like really nice. And it had a bit of a floral kind of note to it. And it made beautiful cocktails. It was fantastic. So if you've only had terrible vodka in your life, please get yourself a good bottle of vodka at least once.
What kind was it? Come on.
Wait, hold on. Callie.
Yeah.
What was the good vodka called?
Tito's.
Tito's handmade vodka. It's cheap over here. It's probably not cheap over there.
No, it was like 45 euro or something.
Holy smokes.
40 euro.
For like a handle here, it's like 20 bucks for like a handle.
What? It's 20 bucks over there?
Yeah.
A handle's like, we call it shoulder. We got like a full bottle.
I was going to say I had a similar experience with tequila. And I always thought that I hated tequila. And just, I want to say like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I had like a good tequila from someone. And I was just sipping it. It still it has that tequila smell. But the taste is much different than any other tequila I've had. So I actually really liked it. And then I had a margarita at like a fancy Mexican restaurant. And it was great. So I think it goes with my working theory that all alcohol is amazing. You just have to find the right one for you.
Right. That's how it was with beer too.
Yeah. Yeah.
First five beers I had, awful. But then when I found the right one,
Yep. Yep. But there's such a wide spectrum, seemingly for any spirit, in terms of like the type of taste, and like whiskey's no exception, with like scotch on the one side and like it's American whiskey or rye on the other. It's great. It's great. It's a whole wide world to explore for alcohol. And Magic pairs very well.
Should we just start a drinking podcast? Let's try every week we'll try new alcohol.
I don't really drink that much, so no.
this is a good place to start.
We have to sip it, and then by the end we'll just be totally wasted. It'll be like one of those.
I'm becoming a dad. I can't start drinking heavily.
Okay, that's
maybe true. I can.
We'll also have a hot sauce section because I like hot sauce, and you can do that with me.
Ugh. Hot sauce?
No, I hate spicy food. I'm out on that too.
Your ideas are not working out here, Dave.
I just bought some hot sauce. It was ridiculously expensive, and I thought it was imported, but it's from here. That's because it had like ghost chili in it and naga chili in it. Ugh.
No, thank you.
They're great. Ugh. They're like really good.
All right, I'll take your word for it. Whatever.
This got off topic.
Yeah. Well, that's the great thing about After Dark. You never know where we're gonna go. Also, you learn a few things. So it's all coming together. That's why After Dark is the best. Well, I'm going to wrap it up. That's going to do it for this episode. 4 premier events on Magic Online coming this weekend. There's a sealed Mox Monthly and a sealed PTQ on Sunday. For context, hit me up on Twitter at Connor P. O'Donnell, or you can check out the other podcasts I work on, The Game Podcast with Jerry Thompson and Brian Gottlieb, WCW versus NWO Podcast, the wrestling podcast Dave and I do. We're recording a tribute episode dedicated to Leon White, a.k.a. Vader. Hopefully it will be out next week, so check that out. Dave, Nathaniel, where can our listeners contact you guys?
The moment, I am not doing a lot of streaming, but you can catch me on Twitter. I'm DaveC89 on Twitter.
And for me, at Card Hoarder is typically me replying on Twitter. If you want to have a lengthier conversation, Nathaniel@CardHoarder.com.
All right, guys, that's going to wrap up the episode. Remember, you can find the show on CardHoarder.com. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.